Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
stocks fall around the world following the S&P 500's biggest drop in 5 weeks.
Investors await a key economic reading following yesterday's disappointing manufacturing data.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is set to issue an ultimatum to the European Union.
President Trump says what is taking place is not an impeachment, it is a coup. Plus, Democrats and Secretary of State Pompeo joust. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Thrilling win for the Washington Nationals. They beat Milwaukee to advance to the National League playoffs. Tampa Bay and Oakland play the American League wildcard game tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And futures are moving lower this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 17 points. Dow futures down 155. NASDAQ futures down 52. The DAX in Germany is down 1.1%. CAC in Paris down 1.5%. And the FTSE 100 down 1.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.5%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.62%. Yield on the two-year, 1.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 21 cents at $53.83 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed up 40 cents to $14.89.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0918 against the dollar. The yen 107.65. And this data check brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Their margin loans start at 3.4% and decrease for larger loan values. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Nathan.
Karen, the decline in stocks around the world comes after the S&P 500 kicked off the fourth quarter with its biggest decline in more than 5 weeks, after notably weaker than forecast U.S. manufacturing data. And it's fueling fears of an impending global slowdown. Klaus Bader is chief global economist at Societe Generale.
The risk at the moment, of course, is that the weakness in the manufacturing sector, and this is not only true in the U.S., this is certainly true in Europe and other places as well, that weakness in manufacturing is going to push the whole economy into recession, or at least into a serious slowdown. I don't think we're quite there yet, and as I said, fiscal policy will play an important role.
Fed fund futures are now indicating a 61% chance of a Fed rate cut at the end of this month. Bloomberg Terminal customers can get all the latest Fed rate move projections by typing WIRP Go on the Bloomberg.
And we'll get another reading on the health of the U.S. economy in just over 2 hours from now. Payroll provider ADP will issue its September employment report, and economists are forecasting a slowdown in hiring. They're looking for a gain of 140,000 jobs. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
ADP's prior report showed businesses added 195,000 jobs in August, the most since April. But Bloomberg Economics notes factories have cut hiring and other sectors could soon be affected. Transportation and warehousing, for example. Here's something to mull over. ISM issued its monthly factory report for September on Tuesday, and its barometer of factory employment dropped the lowest since January 2016. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. And the drop in U.S. stocks spilled into Asia overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the recap from Singapore.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. China and India markets were closed for public holidays, but the Nikkei 225 closed lower by 0.5% in Japan to 21,778 points, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong retreated after resuming trade a day after violent protests in the city. Banking stocks in Australia weighed on the ASX 200 after the federal government lashed out at the nation's lenders for failing to pass on the RBA's rate cut in full. A missile launch from North Korea saw South Korea's KOSPI and the won retreat, although so-called peace stocks rose in Seoul, ahead of expected working-level denuclearization talks between Pyongyang and Washington Saturday. Elsewhere, the yen traded in a tight range, while Japan's government bonds rose across maturities following Tuesday's sell-off. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. In the UK, Boris Johnson sends his Brexit plan to the EU today with the usual warning that he's ready and willing to opt for a hard exit. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Caroline Hepker. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Boris Johnson's idea seems to involve a way around the so-called Irish border backstop. That's the most contentious issue in the deal that was agreed by his predecessor, Theresa May. Northern Ireland would have special customs arrangements applying to the Irish border, which would last for about 4 years, essentially kicking the problem down the road. Johnson's office says that he'll present a fair and reasonable compromise offer to the EU. He wants it settled by the 11th of October. The Irish Deputy Prime Minister Coveney has already said the plan does not look like the basis for a deal. The arguments about the Irish border are well worn. The question is if anyone with just days to go will compromise. Live in London, I'm Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Caroline, thank you. A change at the top of the UK's biggest retailer, Tesco CEO David Lewis, will step down next summer. He'll be succeeded by the chief commercial officer at Walgreens Boots Alliance, Ken Murphy. Lewis joined Tesco in 2014 in the wake of an accounting scandal. Since then, he's leveraged the company's position as grocery market leader to boost profits.
U.S. automakers took a big step back in September. Sales did, at least. Results were disastrous for leading Asian automakers, Toyota and Honda, which both suffered double-digit declines that were worse than analysts anticipated. A fuller picture will emerge today when General Motors and Ford report, but the poor performance suggests overall deliveries of cars and light trucks could come in worse than the 12% drop that analysts anticipate.
Bridgewater Associates' Ray Dalio says preliminary discussions on limiting U.S. investments in China make him wonder if the Trump administration is inching toward bigger moves. In a new essay posted on LinkedIn, the billionaire founder of the world's biggest hedge fund points to the U.S. freezing Japanese assets and embargoing oil to Japan in the late 1930s to early 1940s as a potential example of how special emergency powers could be used by the president.
David Einhorn's Greenlight Capital hedge funds surged last month. Greenlight gained more than 8% in September, and that brought returns for the year to an average of 24%. Einhorn has remained committed to a strategy of buying beaten-down stocks and shorting growth companies.
And S&P futures are lower this morning, down 18 points. Dow futures down 161, and NASDAQ futures are down 55. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 607 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Accusations and warnings are flying in the impeachment inquiry. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that Democrats are trying to intimidate and bully career officials as he sought to delay their appearances before House committees. Democrats warn that blocking congressional access to impeachment witnesses could itself be an impeachable offense. The State Department's Inspector General is set to hold congressional briefings today on Ukraine. Democratic Representative Jamie Raskin is a member of the House Oversight Committee and expects to be in the closed-door briefing.
It appears to be in response to the letter that Secretary Pompeo sent to Congress, and that letter intimates that he thinks that he has some kind of protective privilege blanket that he can draw down over all of the documents that we are requesting, and he appears to think that he can stop the witnesses from coming in to testify.
Meanwhile, President Trump tweeted last night that what is taking place is not an impeachment, it is a coup. Expect a heavy barrage of campaign ads accusing Democrats of trying to steal the 2020 election. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports the Republican war chest is suddenly overflowing.
It is a presidential campaign fundraising record, declaring President Trump has built a juggernaut of a campaign. Re-election officials in the Republican National Committee say they've amassed $125 million in the third quarter of the year and aim to use the haul to fight off impeachment. By comparison, former President Barack Obama and the DNC raised just over $70 million in the third quarter of 2011. RNC Chairwoman Rona McDaniel credits Democratic attacks on Trump for motivating supporters to dig so deeply into their wallets and says the GOP will saturate the airwaves to counter what she calls their obstruction. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hong Kong's police commissioner is defending an officer's use of live ammunition during anti-government protests, saying the officer was under attack. Today, hundreds of college students went on strike in Hong Kong to condemn the police shooting of the 18-year-old classmate. North Korea fired what appeared to be a ballistic missile designed for submarines just hours after agreeing to restart stalled nuclear talks with the U.S. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, one game to decide the National League wild card winner, and one moment decided the one game. The Brewers led 3-1. They were four outs from victory. The Nationals, in the bottom of the eighth inning, had the bases loaded, two out, and Juan Soto faced Josh Hader, and it was the greatest moment in Washington Nationals history.
The kick, here it comes. Swing and a line drive. Base hit right field. Taylor scores from third. Stevenson around third. The ball missed in right field. Rounding third. Coming home is Rendon. He will score, but now caught in a rundown is Soto. He will be tagged out by Moustakas, but that's the third out. Three runs score on the play.
That's radio had it. The hit by Soto tied the game. The error by 22-year-old Milwaukee rookie Trent Grisham allowed the Nats to take the lead, and they won 4-3. It's the first time they've ever advanced in a postseason. Now they're in the NLDS, which they've been in four times previously. They've gone 0-4, and they'll be heavy underdogs as they start the series with the Dodgers tomorrow night in L.A. That's after the Cardinals face the Braves in Atlanta. Tonight in Oakland, it's Sean Manaea against Charlie Morton. A's and Rays, two low payroll teams in the AL wildcard game for the right to then play Houston. Yankees worked out at the stadium. We'll do so again today ahead of Friday night's game one with Minnesota. Aaron Boone yet to announce his starting pitching plans, but most expect him to start James Paxton in the opener. WNBA Finals, Connecticut Sun won in Washington to tie the best of five series at one. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, it appears football fans are ready for some football as far as the TV ratings go. Last Sunday's matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints was the week's number one primetime program with 24.1 million viewers, more than 6 million more than the number two show, the Philadelphia Eagles and Green Bay Packers, last Thursday night on Fox. Futures pointed lower. This is Bloomberg. Sports brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen. They solve. They do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update is brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro E-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME Mini. Stocks are slumping in Europe, and U.S. stock index futures are retreating with Asian shares as miserable manufacturing data from the world's largest economy continues to reverberate around markets. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 19 points. Dow futures down 166. NASDAQ futures down 58. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.62%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.52%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33%, up 19 cents at $53.81 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.60 to $14.90.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.0916 against the dollar. The yen, 107.62. British pound is at 1.2245. And Lennar reported third-quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. New orders also beat in the quarter. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Democrats issued a stark warning to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo after the top U.S. diplomat accused lawmakers of intimidating and bullying State Department officials by calling them for depositions related to the Ukraine inquiry. In a letter, the chairman of the House Intelligence, Foreign Affairs, and Oversight Committees told Pompeo that any effort to prevent those officials from speaking to Congress is illegal and will constitute evidence of obstruction of the impeachment inquiry. Meanwhile, President Trump tweeted last night, "This isn't an impeachment, it is a coup." In the NL wildcard game, the Nationals won in a dramatic come-from-behind win against the Brewers 4-3. Washington now faces the Dodgers in their divisional series on Thursday. Tonight, the A's
play the Rays in the AL wild card game. The Yankees play on Friday. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right. Thanks, Michael. 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's bring in Ben Jeffrey now, interest rate strategist at BMO Capital Markets. Ben, the markets were taken quite a bit of by surprise, I would imagine, by the weakness in the manufacturing data yesterday. Do you think this puts more pressure on the Federal Reserve to act?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. I definitely think it does. We had kind of settled into sort of a trading range here after that really large rally to conclude summer, and after the back up in 10-year yields that got as high as 190, you know, the Fed had to be thinking maybe they had done enough. Maybe one more cut in October or December was going to be sufficient to kind of calm investors' nerves. But as you point out, that ISM manufacturing figure tomorrow certainly increases the odds of more cuts sooner, or maybe even that sort of 75 baseline not being enough.
Are you holding out the possibility of a deep rate cut even this month? I know we've heard from James Bullard among those saying that he's been pushing for a 50 basis point cut.
I think it's really going to be a story of how the data plays out this week in particular, with payrolls on Friday and ISM manufacturing a little bit later this week. But we're still of the mind the Fed does want to be patient in their easing. And while Bullard is certainly well telegraphed as one of the more dovish members of the committee, the fact that on one side you have Bullard wanting 50 basis points and on the other side you have George and Rosengren actually preferring to keep rates on hold, I think it really does speak to the uncertainties that are facing the outlook at this point.
What's your expectation for what we could get from the payrolls number on Friday? Do you think the weakness in manufacturing could be reflected in that?
I think incrementally that introduces some downside risk, but it's also important to remember that at the end of the day, the U.S. is primarily a service-based economy. So while the manufacturing sector is certainly important and, you know, garnered a lot of attention yesterday, the lion's share of jobs growth in the U.S. is going to come from non-manufacturing. And as those sectors are at least on the top line less exposed to the trade war, you should think that hopefully they'll be able to hold up comparatively better.
What do you make of President Trump's argument that he put out on Twitter yesterday that dollar strength is a lot of the reason why we're seeing the weakness in manufacturing? Does he have a point there?
I think that may be some of it, but if you look within the details of some of these releases, dollar strength really isn't what's being highlighted as weighing on sentiment. It's really just uncertainty about what tariffs may or may not be coming down the pipeline.
So where do you see Treasury yields heading as we get closer to this Federal Reserve rate decision?
I think going into the meeting, you're going to see 10-year yields in particular sort of consolidate in this, call it 150 to 190 range. But like I said earlier, the data this week is really going to be impactful in determining how aggressive the Fed will ultimately be at the end of this month. And if, in fact, the non-manufacturing data and ADP and NFP show, you know, similar signs of pessimism, I think you could see a more substantial rally back towards the bottom of this range that we've seen in the Treasury market.
All right. Do you expect the Fed to do more to address some of the volatility we've seen in the funding markets over the last few weeks? Does it need to do more longer term than, buying a repo?
I think in the short term, the overnight and term repo operations they've been doing have been sufficient to sort of calm the nerves in the very front end of the market. But more generally, the volatility we've seen is indicative of the fact that we've entered a scarce reserves regime when it comes to the Fed's balance sheet. So eventually, and we think probably sooner rather than later, they're going to need to resume asset purchases and start to grow the balance sheet again to get back to that abundant reserves framework that they've said they prefer to operate in.
So are you calling for a resumption of quantitative easing?
I would not go so far as to call it quantitative easing, and the reason for that is QE is designed for the explicit purpose of lowering rates as far as they can go, usually after rate cuts have been exhausted as a policy lever. But in this instance, it's not the purchases that the Fed will carry out are not for the purpose of lowering rates, simply rather to just adjust their balance sheets to hopefully avoid future funding market volatility.
Ben Jeffrey, thanks for being with us. That's Ben Jeffrey, interest rate strategist at BMO Capital Markets. And looking at the bond markets right now, the 10-year is higher by 2/32 with a yield of 1.62%, 2-year treasury yield 1.52%. As for equity markets, futures pointed lower, S&P futures down 19 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque, designed to open your eyes to the possibilities of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're seeing further declines in stocks around the world this morning. Yesterday, the S&P 500 kicked off the fourth quarter with its biggest decline since August. The culprit, weaker-than-expected manufacturing data. Klaus Bader is the global chief economist at Société Générale.
You know, the whole U.S. trade policy, if that's what you want to call it, is, in fact, should support the U.S. economy and should support manufacturing, employment and output in the United States. But, of course, it's not happening. What we're seeing is a really deepness right across the world in the manufacturing sector. Global trade is in outright recession. It's declined three quarters in a row.
And we'll get another snapshot of the health of the U.S. economy at 8:15 a.m. Wall Street time. Payroll provider ADP will issue its September employment report.
General Motors and Ford report U.S. auto sales today. Yesterday, Toyota and Honda both suffered double-digit declines that were worse than analysts anticipated.
Germany's five leading research institutes slashed their forecast for economic growth. They predict gross domestic product will expand by 1.1% in 2020. In April, they expected growth of 1.8%.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's poised to issue an ultimatum to the European Union, negotiate Brexit on his terms within the next 9 days, or face a no-deal divorce.
In the end, a country has to be able to govern its customs. If you're going to come out of the EU, you've got to run your own trade policy, you've got to run your own customs. And so we have to find a way of doing that. Okay. I won't deny that this is the tough bit.
Johnson addresses his Conservative Party's annual conference in Manchester, England, less than 30 minutes from now.
Tesco chief executive Dave Lewis is stepping down next summer from UK's largest retailer and will be succeeded by a surprise choice, Walgreens Boots Alliance's Ken Murphy.
Shares of Lennar are higher by more than 3%, the biggest U.S. home builder by revenue, reported quarterly orders that beat estimates.
Johnson & Johnson has agreed to pay more than $20 million to avoid the first federal trial in which it faced accusations of helping fuel the opioid epidemic by mishandling its painkillers. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 17 points. Dow futures down 157. NASDAQ futures down 54. The DAX in Germany is down 1.25%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.62%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.52%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 12 cents at $53.74 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. And let's bring in Michael Barr to get more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump ratcheted up his attacks on lawmakers pursuing a whistleblower complaint. More from Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
In a Tuesday evening tweet, Trump said, "As I learn more and more each day, I'm coming to the conclusion that what is taking place is not an impeachment, it is a coup. The tweet marked the seventh time this year that he's tweeted that he's been the subject of a coup attempt, but the first since a scandal erupted over his interactions with Ukraine's president. Meanwhile, three House committee chairmen jousted with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who moved to restrict testimony from State Department officials who've dealt with Ukraine. The committee chairs responded by saying any attempt to prevent department officials from speaking to Congress is illegal and will constitute evidence of obstruction. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The same jury that convicted a white Dallas police officer in the fatal shooting of her black neighbor will soon return to court to consider her sentence. Amber Geiger, who said she mistook Botham John's apartment for her own, was convicted of murder. His mother, Allison John, was called to the stand to describe her loss. She says her son would have turned 28 years old this week.
I cannot sleep. I cannot eat. It's just been the most terrible time for me.
Geiger could face anywhere from 5 years to life in prison. A day after resigning from the House, ex-New York Congressman Chris Collins pleaded guilty yesterday to charges stemming from a 2017 insider trading case. U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman spoke outside federal court in Manhattan.
No one is above the law. And it is because of our office's commitment to and pursuit of that ideal that Collins is now a convicted felon and no longer a member of Congress.
Prosecutors say while attending the congressional picnic at the White House in 2017, Collins received an email that an experimental multiple sclerosis drug developed by an Australian company had proven to be a clinical failure. The next morning, Collins' son began dumping his shares. Dressed in black, schoolmates of a teenage demonstrator shot in the chest by a Hong Kong riot officer condemned police tactics and demanded accountability. The shooting during widespread anti-government demonstrations on China's National Day marked a fearsome escalation in Hong Kong's protest violence. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Just before 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the baseball postseason kicked off in Washington. Milwaukee's Yasmani Grandal had a two-run homer off Max Scherzer, and the Brewers had two runs before Scherzer had an out. Eric Thames, a solo shot in the second, but the Brewers didn't score again. Against the Nats, two aces, Scherzer and then Steven Strasburg. And in the bottom of the eighth inning, Washington got to Milwaukee closer Josh Hader. Hit batsman, broken bat single, a walk, and a two-out, three-on, Juan Soto base hit. That would have tied the game. An error by Milwaukee's rookie right fielder Trent Grisham allowed a third run to score. And the Nationals, who've had a history of postseason disappointment, with a come-from-behind 4-3 victory, their manager, Stavy Martinez.
They don't quit until the 27th out is recorded. And honestly, for me, I kind of got used to it. And, you know, we're sitting there and nobody ever thought we were ever done until that last out was. It really, I mean, the dugout was fired up. The guys were fired up. Michael gets hit. And I bet simultaneously, 10 guys screamed, here we go. And that's all it took.
They're in the NLDS against the Dodgers tonight in Oakland. It's the AL wildcard game. The A's and Rays, Yankees and Twins start Friday night at the stadium. The Giants cut two wide receivers, Benny Fowler and T.J. Jones. That's because Golden Tate is back from his four-game PED suspension.
I try to keep myself busy just to take my mind off of it. Sundays were tough for me. I was in a bad mood on Sunday, just, you know, from the start of the day. I couldn't find the game because I'm on the West Coast. They weren't showing the game, so I had to find out somewhere streaming to start it off. And then I'm just sitting there looking like I should be out there. I'm supposed to be out there, so it was tough.
Giants go for a third straight win Sunday. They host Minnesota with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
While most of Washington was on vacation, lobbyists were busy placing ads attacking lawmakers' efforts to end surprise medical bills. The blitz might be working. Before the summer recess, committees in each chamber had approved bipartisan bills addressing the problem. But now the Senate Majority Leader is silent on whether he'll bring the legislation to a vote, and it seems it might not happen at all. Many health care questions are complicated and controversial, and reasonable people can disagree on what's best. This isn't one of them. Too many ER doctors deliberately stay out of network so they can charge sky-high prices. Patients get whacked after discovering that even though their hospital was in network, their treatment wasn't. It's indefensible and should be stopped. The problem is readily solvable, provided Congress summons the will. Lawmakers in both parties should insist their leaders act on the issue this year. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Just before 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
When it comes to wind turbines, bigger is definitely better. And the largest offshore wind farm in the world is set to run on the world's biggest wind turbine developed by General Electric's renewables unit.
Up to 16,000 European households could be powered by the renewable energy of one Haliade X.
GE has made an agreement to sell its 853-foot-tall power-generating machine for a wind farm off the eastern coast of England, a testament to how the increasing scale of both projects and turbines is driving down the cost of renewable energy. It also increases pressure on other turbine makers to develop their own bigger versions, which could bring a new wave of price competition to the industry. GE's Haliade X turbine stands as high as an 85-story building, almost three times as tall as the Statue of Liberty. The so-called Dogger Bank wind farm won a power purchase contract from the UK government last month that will support the project. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thank you, Bob. Food insecurity appears to be a big problem for low-income and disabled Medicare recipients. Nancy Lyons has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A recent study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association offers a snapshot of the problem.
Roughly 10% Medicare seniors and about 40% of Medicare recipients who are younger than 65 with long-term disabilities experienced food insecurity at some point in the last year.
Bloomberg Law's Tony Pugh says beginning next year, Medicare Advantage plans will expand coverage to allow recipients to receive home-delivered meals as part of their plan in hopes of keeping them healthy. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Futures pointed lower this morning. This is Bloomberg. And coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are lower this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure, following through on yesterday's losses. Dow futures currently down 163 points. S&P's drop 18 and NASDAQ futures decline by 56. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.63%. Gold is up 4, and Shanghai remained closed overnight. Well, European markets are also under pressure, led by 2% losses in the U.K. And note that Boris Johnson issued an ultimatum as the EU balked on his Brexit plan. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:15, ADP employment change estimate there 140,000. And after the bell last night, Stitch Fix Q4 adjusted EBITDA missed the lowest estimates. Shares are down 10% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, Lennar EPS beat the highest estimates and look for paychecks to report around 8:30. In other news, look for Ford and GM to report auto sales this morning. And wrapping things up over at Barclays, TD Ameritrade, Schwab, and E-Trade were all downgraded to underweight, and Spotify upgraded to neutral over at Credit Suisse. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over here at Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Democrats issued a stark warning to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. The top U.S. diplomat accused lawmakers of intimidating and bullying State Department officials by calling them for depositions related to the Ukraine inquiry. In a letter sent yesterday, the chairman of the House Intelligence, Foreign Affairs, and Oversight Committees told Pompeo that any effort to prevent those officials from speaking to Congress is illegal and will constitute evidence of obstruction of the impeachment inquiry. Meanwhile, President Trump tweeted last night, "I am coming to the conclusion that what is taking place is not an impeachment, it is a coup." North Korea fired what appeared to be a ballistic missile designed for subs just hours after agreeing to restart stalled nuclear talks with the U.S. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, in baseball, for those of us who remember the original dramatic reality TV sports, the NL wildcard game was a doozy.
It was wild, that's for sure. Man.
In our latest episode of Keeping Up with the Nationals, Washington won in a come-from-behind win against the Brewers 4-3, did it in the eighth.
Yeah.
The Nationals now face the Dodgers in their divisional series on Thursday. Tonight, the A's play the Rays in the AL wildcard game, and Nathan, the Yankees face the Twins for game one of their ALDS on Friday.
Michael, I know that you stayed up all night watching the NL wildcard because sleep is for the weak. Did you see that play, the go-ahead play in the eighth?
I saw everybody lose their minds.
Yeah, they did. Is Bill Buckner a fair comparison?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I hate to say it. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I saw the catch, too. So
yeah. What a crazy comeback. It's October. Best time of year.
Wondering why you're giddy. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. Tigers fans, as always, next year. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
The Nationals, Yankees, it's a fun time of year. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what else is going on in D.C. besides the wild card game. President Trump hosts the president of Finland today at the White House. The State Department Inspector General briefs House committees today on documents related to Ukraine. And this morning, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff discuss their impeachment strategy at a news conference. Also making news this morning, the president calling the impeachment inquiry a coup. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us. And it's been tough to keep up with headlines as the impeachment inquiry just gets started. Kate, safe to say, the rhetoric has reached pretty breathtaking new heights here.
It has. It's really kind of gotten up to this fever pitch, and it's hard to imagine it ratcheting up more, but I would think that that is really even just the direction that we're heading instead of an easing off. Trump has called, he's used the term coup in the past on Twitter, but this is the first time he's used it in reference to the Democrats' impeachment inquiry. It certainly speaks to his base in a very clear way in terms of many of those in his base believe in the concept of a deep state that is dead set against having Trump in office. And so the idea that there might be some kind of a coup at work here to try to force him from office speaks directly to those types of fears and certainly seems to be geared at revving up his base.
And even as we've heard from Secretary of State Pompeo saying that it would be infeasible for some of the House committees to seek testimony from people within the State Department on the Ukraine matter, I mean, we are going to get testimony this week. So is there a difference between the rhetoric and what's actually happening?
I think there is a bit of a disconnect, and I think part of what we are seeing with Pompeo is an attempt to fuel or to back up the allegations that have been put forth by the White House that, you know, this is a political witch hunt. I think what Pompeo was saying in part in his resistance to, or at least signaling in part in his resistance to having those State Department officials testify was that he essentially said that he didn't have time to prepare. And so I think that feeds into the narrative, at least, that the Trump administration is pushing and that the president himself is pushing, that this is, you know, a political witch hunt and something that Democrats are doing far too expeditiously and that, you know, it's not being done methodically. And so Democrats are certainly going to try to push back against that narrative as they have been all along. And I think that these are the types of sort of flash in the pan sparring that we're likely to see going forward.
How do you expect to see Democrats and specifically Adam Schiff push back against some of the criticism that they're facing? It's been remarkable, particularly to see how President Trump has focused in on the House Intelligence Chairman, calling for him to be investigated and even suggesting he ought to be arrested.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty dramatic what Trump has said about Adam Schiff. I think that it's particularly important to note the context, which is that traditionally in both the Senate and the House, the Intelligence Committee has been kind of viewed as if not nonpartisan, at least kind of above partisanship. And so I think that's part of why, not the only reason, but part of the reason why Nancy Pelosi wanted to start the impeachment inquiry in that committee. And so I think that it certainly represents a breach of protocol, at the very least, in the way in which Trump is, you know, the posture that Trump is taking towards Adam Schiff. And I think that it will be interesting to see how that plays out going forward, whether that backfires or whether it's something that does, in fact, just make Adam Schiff kind of the boogeyman for the Republican base. I think, though, that it will be... you know, I think that Democrats' counterargument is going to be what we heard from Nancy Pelosi going back to last Friday, when she essentially came out and then repeated this to her caucus over the weekend and talked about how this is, from Democrats' perspective, about national security and about preserving their oversight responsibilities vis-a-vis the Constitution and not at all about politics. And so I think that's the message we're going to keep hearing Democrats hammer.
And of course, this impeachment inquiry is coming in the midst of a campaign season in the presidential race. And it's interesting to see how both sides, the president himself and the Democrats, are trying to show that they can, you know, walk and chew gum at the same time in terms of trying to focus in on their issues and not just the impeachment question.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. We're going to see Democrats, some of the Democratic candidates today, for instance, going to a gun safety forum in Nevada, which obviously in Las Vegas, which obviously was the location of a mass shooting a couple years ago. I think that that's an example of Democrats, you know, the Democratic candidates who are out on the trail trying to focus in on issues that resonate with their base and with a majority of independent voters as well, even while the Democrats who are on Capitol Hill, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi and others, are going to be focusing like a laser on impeachment.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Never enough to talk about. Thank you, Kathleen. As always, you can read much more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It's now 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Fall of juice and the rise of fresh fruit. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Per capita fruit juice consumption is down 45% in the U.S. from 2 decades ago and still falling. Consumption of high fructose corn syrup and other sweeteners is also down, if not as steeply. Meanwhile, Americans are eating more fresh fruit, with avocados, pineapples, and strawberries among the biggest gainers. This follows a turn against sugar in medical research and diet guidelines. The sugar in fruit juice may be naturally occurring, but there's a lot of it. It's less concentrated in whole fruit, which is still seen as healthy food. Even in this age of suspicion of experts, then, Americans really do seem to have listened to their dietary recommendations. Let's just hope that, unlike some past expert dietary advice, this doesn't turn out to be wrong. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. And we continue to watch these headlines crossing the Bloomberg with UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson saying there'll be no customs checks at or near the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland and his Brexit plan that'll be presented to EU officials in Brussels today. And we're also continuing to watch Twitter as it reports a partial service disruption. That's according to its website. It's investigating outages across Twitter and TweetDeck. Futures this morning are lower as we watch the markets. S&P futures down 18 points. Dow futures down 168. NASDAQ futures down 56. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. Straight ahead for Nathan Hager. I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.